Good day, everybody, and welcome to this week's Kingdom Faith Worship Podcast with me, Colin Squires.
Hi, me, Pete Norman.
And Toby Urquhart.
Just the three of us today for your listening pleasure. And today I'd like to start by asking you two lovely gentlemen, what do you think, have you ever had a favourite worship song that you just really love to listen to? Maybe now you look back and think, what was I thinking? But at the time you really loved. One that stands out to you.
Yeah. Yes, I have.
Ooh, what was it?
I'm trying to remember. I go through times and seasons of songs, I think. There's a difference between what your favourite song is and what song works in a meeting. Especially as a worship leader, you have like your ones, you have your backup songs that you know, well, this one's going to work, generally because it's so focused on the Lord. And then there are songs that you love to maybe listen to more.
Yeah.
But then I suppose, you know, there's songs to worship to, and as my wife puts it, there's songs to do the ironing to. And there are two different things.
That's very true.
What can be your favourite song isn't necessarily a great worship song.
Yeah. Any particularly stand out to you?
I don't know, really. I think we did one recently, and it's a little narcissistic because I was involved in writing it, but one called You Reign, I wrote with Chad, and that was great. I used to love that one. Because it was fun to play. It really boomed in the meeting. It worked. It was focused on the Lord. And it sounded great. So I used to love, I loved that one.
Do you know what's really funny? I really, really never liked that song at all.
Ooh. Oh,
controversial. I'm really sorry. Yeah. Well, of course, at the end of the day, it's what the Lord likes.
Yes.
No, I'm not doing that one. I don't like that one.
No, I liked that one. Because it was a little bit prog rock as well, which I like.
Yeah, there's never any prog rock in you, is there, Pete? What?
I love it.
No,
I love
it. Guessed. Yeah. Toby, your favourite worship song maybe stands out in your memory?
Yes. Your Majesty. King of Kings, Majesty.
King of Kings, Majesty. Gary
Cooper.
Oh,
yeah, my wife, we sang that in a meeting recently, and it was on it. It was definitely the song for the morning, even though it's a fairly old song now. And my wife, I think she was BVing that morning, and she was just like, there was such an anointing on it. And she went online afterwards to try and find like a modern version of it. And she was like, oh, it was cringy.
Yeah.
There's no one's done like a
it's
contemporary.
It's quite difficult
modern...
to do in a contemporary
it
way,
is,
actually,
yeah,
as
yeah.
well, the way it is structured musically. But it's still, the point is, what does a song do? And it does something, doesn't it?
We love
it. In royal robes, I don't deserve. I live to serve your majesty. Brilliant. Oh, it's great.
Yeah, we love Jared. Jared was actually came to King Faith Bible College years and years and years ago, didn't he?
He was here for a while, yeah. He was here for a few years, I think, yeah. Yeah, he wrote that whilst he was here.
And he wrote that one, yeah. And there's a great video, if you want to go and find it, on YouTube of Jared Cooper singing on Songs of Praise.
Oh, really? Is
yeah, it's great. He sounds just like Sir Cliff. Sir Cliff Richard.
Oh, Sir Cliff.
It's very funny. Love it. It's very funny. I mean, it's an anointed song. It's brilliant. It's amazing. But
we're just reading his book, aren't we, When Spirit and Word Collide?
Yeah.
Big shout out for that book. Great.
Great book. Especially
really
church
good.
Leaders. Yeah, excellent. Really encouraging.
Excellent.
It's all about revival.
There's an old one. I just remembered another one that always stirs me. I don't know what you're like, Toby. If you hear really good music, does it make you well up a bit? Do you start filling up?
Yeah. If it's
really good. The Love, the Mystery.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was a good one.
That's a great song. Yeah, that's an old move song,
Fix
wasn't it?
You by Coldplay.
It was pretty much that, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. It came out in the same year. I think
it was The Scientist.
The Scientist. It was absolutely. What a great song that one was. Yeah, that's an old move song. The move is our sort of young people's thing. But they're all old now because I was about 11 years
ago. The Love, the Mystery,
ago.
Your Mercy Covers Me, Your Grace Is More Than Enough.
Boom.
Yeah, what a lyric. My the one that stands out that I really loved for quite a while, that was actually the song, it was before I even came to Kingdom Faith, but the song that was played at my baptism, because it was my favourite song, was His Name Is Jesus, Friend of Sinners. That was a good song. Now I think back and go...
What were you thinking?
What was I thinking?
Yeah, I was just thinking.
I loved it.
Yeah. There's times and seasons for songs, though, aren't there, Colin?
Well, yes, because this brings us onto our question of the day. I want loads of reverb. We should sort this out so I can say, question of the day, day, day.
Do it again, Colin.
You just muted the reverb. That's definitely not going to work. we'll sort that out for future. But, our question of the day is... I should have thought about wording this first, because no one actually wrote this down, it was just asked. But where do older songs fit? Or maybe you could ask, why do you do new songs? And yeah, just how does that work in leading worship on a Sunday morning? Or
well, I suppose I have been asked directly, why don't we sing more old songs?
Oh, well, there you go. That's word.
I have been asked that.
Why don't you, in Kingdom Faith, do more old songs?
I don't know. Toby, why don't we do more old songs?
He doesn't know them. I don't know. I'm very young still. So, I think songs have certain timings and seasons. Maybe not lyrically as much, because if we're obviously singing the truth we want, we're going to sing generally the same kind of truth, but in just maybe in different wordings. But
God
more,
is good, probably never going to change, is it?
Yeah, that's true.
Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, yeah. Wasn't, isn't
it? That's got to be a good song, because you know they've been singing that same tune since the beginning of
from
time.
From Isaiah exactly. 6 all the way through to Revelation, at least.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder whether they changed the tune or whether they're like, oh, this one again. I don't know.
So lyrically, not so much, but I think tune-wise, melody and chordings also.
Chordings?
Yes, chordings. Chord structure or layout of the song. I think...
instrumentation.
Yeah, instrumentation. I think it's just as music's progressed over the years, songs can sound like outdated or...
Absolutely.
I don't know, just the way you could play them is like... uninteresting, but also it gives like space to write new songs. I'll let Pete cover that because he has a great phrase for
it. This is a phrase that, which actually a David Pawson phrase. This one is, of course, in the Psalms. It says, "Sing a new song to the Lord." The Lord never says, "Sing me one of my old favourites." Yeah. Does he, Toby?
Never
says, "Sing me one of my old favourites." It's always, "Sing a new song to the Lord." So. Yeah. What are we going to do? Sing old songs or sing new songs? I think also, Pastor Clive puts it in a good way, that old songs place you in a certain time and place. And it's almost like nostalgic, you know, like we were just talking then about our favourite songs. We were getting nostalgic. Straight away, you start, it's nostalgia, and we're not in a nostalgia business.
Yes.
Yeah. Sing a new song. Whether it's written or you're just spontaneous, sing a new song. Don't sing old songs. And there are songs that are timeless, but they're very few and far between. And most old songs should be left in the past, really. I mean, you know, we used to do an album every year, less frequently now. But you know, if I ever listen back to them, which is very very rarely because I don't even own copies anymore. But if I hear them, you know, if we're I'm driving on the ministry vehicles and there's CDs in there, I often think, goodness me, I'd forgotten that song even existed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It might be me singing it. And I think, what were we thinking? She's just not where we are now. Because there's a season and a time that you're in where you're writing songs for that season. And there'll be a theme going through the running through the songs, be it love, grace, you know, victory, whatever it is. And there'll be, you know, a batch of songs, because we write most of our songs in the house here. And they're all on a similar theme. Even though they're completely different songs, there'll be a theme of victory or a theme of, like I say, love or grace or whatever it is, that's right for that time and not necessarily right for another time. You know, there's the logos and the rhema, isn't there?
That's true.
The logos. What's the logos?
The logged word. That's how I remember it.
Yeah, the written word.
The logos. The logos is like the timeless word of God. Yeah. The word of God that is there all the time, and it's truth and truth. You know, we'll you know, heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away. But then there's the rhema word of God, which is, it's also logos, but it's the now word of God. So it's appropriate for now, for today. So, you know, when you're reading a word and it's like pops out, you know, and the Holy Spirit speaks to you and it's like, that's the rhema word of God. It's also the logos, the timeless word of God that's yesterday, today, forever, and, you know, the same. Mm. But there's that rhema word, that now word, and it's the same in songs. There's a now season for lyrics and a feel, and, you know, the vibe and all that sort of thing that goes along with it, that accompanies the lyric.
I'm going to play the part of the advocate for the old songs here, just to stir the pot, stir some discussion. So, but a lot of these old songs, especially the ones we might still sing today, were written out of revival. There's an immense anointing upon them. They were, you know, God really moved through those. And when I lead these songs in my church, it's great. I love them.
Yeah. Well, good for you. You know, there is a time and a place for maybe doing. There are timeless songs. They probably need updating the way you do them. That's sometimes easier with certain songs than with others. I mean, we recently redid When I Survey the Wondrous Cross and added a chorus to it and changed the tune, so it's a bit more joyful. Still,
and there's a song I love.
Yeah, yeah, there you go, and great.
That stirs me to worship every time.
That's a song out of revival. It's brilliant. The lyrics are fantastic. I think we've added to it by adding the chorus. It's easy to pick up and sounds a bit timeless, but a bit more modern as well. Mm. And so that's the way to redo old songs. We also do Here Is Love, of course, which came out of the Welsh Revival, and we still do that song. So old hymns.
Sang it on Friday
sometimes
morning.
Great. I mean, there are many from, like, the Charismatic Renewal era, which, frankly, sounded old-fashioned when they were new, but they did something then, you know. So, I don't know, Majesty, fantastic words. Actually, the tune sounds very dated now, and you'd struggle to update that one, I think, really, unless you just completely rewrote the tune, in my opinion.
Well, there's some
great ones, like To Him Who Sits on the Throne and Unto the Lamb.
You just like that because that's prog-centric.
Well, it is. It is. But I'm sure that's the tune they sing it to in heaven. It's just brilliant. it's so good. It's great. It's eternal truth. It's just direct from Scripture. Yeah. So it's not on a theme as such. It's just revelating. Yeah. It's the worship that is in heaven. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So we need to worship like it is in heaven. And that is a great tune to go along with it. So for me, that's timeless.
Yeah, I have to agree with you here, if I stop playing advocate for a moment, in that there are some excellent songs with incredible lyrics, like Nothing But the Blood, for example.
Yeah. Oh, what amazing. Well, that was redone
and it's
by
rewritten.
Hillsong United, I think.
Well, I think Bethel certainly made it very, or Jesus Culture maybe made it very popular recently.
Sometimes just simplifying the chords slightly and making them a
They've just made
less.
It four chords, a very simple melody, and they've just done two of the verses, and it's a phenomenal song.
Yeah.
And loads of people have adopted that new, that is the modern version of it now. Yeah. You know, loads of people are doing it. They also did one I heard, it was more out of sort of a prophetic thing, but Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, Look Full in His Wonderful Face, and the things of the world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. I believe those are the lyrics. And they just did, a three-chord version of that. And it was just, it sort of drew you back to what the lyrics were saying rather than drawing you back to the outdatedness of the melody, you know, rather than singing it and everyone going, why are we doing this? This does not fit in anything we've just been doing. This just sounds out of context. To suddenly, oh yeah, I remember. It's like singing the lyrics again for the first time.
Yeah. And some songs are ripe for updating.
Yeah.
And some are fine as they are.
I'm doing a terrible job of being an advocate for
you
old songs
are,
here.
Are,
I'm sorry.
Kind of well, we're all in agreement. That's why, isn't it? But I mean, at Christmas, what do? You know, you drag out the old carols that work, don't you? And, you know,
same ones every year, Pete.
Well, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. I mean, you know, words by Wesley, music by Mendelssohn. It doesn't get much better, does it? You know, I mean, you're not going to improve on that. Just do it as it is. Beautiful.
Punk rock version, I think, this year.
Well, we do a punk rock version of Ding Dong, Merrily and High, drifting out again. It's quite
every
fun.
Every year.
Every year. But no, we did not this year.
Not this year.
But we, you know, at Christmas, there are some that you can update a bit. And we do our own version of Angels from the Realms of Glory, for example, which we made it a bit more worshipful and more modern chord structure. But the melody's the same.
Yeah,
but you change the harmonic structure underneath it and the rhythmic structure just to make it a little bit more modern. That's fine. I think you struggle to do that with Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It just is what it is, and it's brilliant as it is. And you do it, and it sounds majestic when you do it that way. Oh, come all you faithful, just do it as it is. It's beautiful. It's great.
I don't know if anyone else finds this, but the few songs will often be brought out, especially through kind of like revival meetings, that kind of stuff, are those very simple ditties, those very old ones.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, this one might have been written in-house. Jesus, I love you, Jesus, you are my everything, wonderful King.
Franco Pecorelli.
Yeah. A lot of those kind of songs, you know, that I now can't think of any. There's one where you sing, Father, 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 Jesus.
Father, I adore you.
Yeah.
Lay my life before you.
That's the one.
I love you. A simple love song.
Yeah.
And those, the simple ones, are the ditties. Yeah, they are timeless, aren't they? And they're very often ones you can sing without instruments.
Yeah.
So that, you know.
So maybe challenge to all of us worship leaders and songwriters out there. should we write some very simple ditties, try to just stop being clever, trying to write a whole song, try, you know, engaging, well, I don't mean engaging lyrics, but like, you know, clever lyrics, just write a few simple ditties that have maybe got 5, 6, 10 words in it. It'd be a challenge to me.
Well, that's the anointing, isn't it? If there's an anointing,
that you can sing without chords.
Yeah. And I think some, the best songs, like those, I'm sure, they come out of a time of meeting with God.
Encounter, yeah.
Encounter. And our friend Andy Barker sang something out, didn't he, on one of our worship practices just recently. We were kind of worshipping with instruments and it was going nowhere. And, you know, okay, let's put the instruments down, let's worship without instruments, which is what we've learned to do, is, yeah, you know, that's, strip it all back, let's just, you know, it's you and God and that's it. And no guitars or keyboards or drums or anything in between. And we were just worshipping in the spirit, and our friend Andy Barker just sang something out, didn't he? A simple song, you know. You're the one I love, and I worship you with all my heart. And it was just amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And we just really, really met with God. It was just that, simple as that, you know. I sang it out again on the Sunday because it just felt appropriate. And he just, boom, in the meeting, it just went. And again, it was a simple song, a simple little love song to the Lord. But it came out of encounter with God. It came out of a meeting with him. And that's the point. The best, they're the best songs.
So it's not about necessarily, we're not saying do the most popular or do whatever is the most contemporary or the latest cutting edge thing.
I have another theory on this as well.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if the Lord says, you know, I think if the Lord like says to you, Toby, sing, you know, you feel like the Lord saying to you, sing Majesty. Majesty, worship his majesty. A little bit old-fashioned, right? But great words. And I think what the Lord would be saying to you is, worship me in my majesty.
Yeah.
Not just sing the song Majesty. And there might be a more contemporary song that does the same thing, like Our God Reigns or something like, you know. Yeah, you know, something like that. There's a sentiment to the song. What does the song do? We're worshipping the Lord in his majesty. There'll be a newer version of that that does the same thing in the spirit, but it's actually more modern. So I think sometimes, you know, you're trying to, when as a songwriter, you're trying to, you know, get across the same eternal truths, but in a fresh way.
Just in a fresh way.
And in a fresh way. And that's, you know, you can almost rewrite Majesty with different words, different tune, but it does the same thing in the spirit. And that's the point.
Do you think there could be a bit of an element of sentimentality in us when we want to do old songs, thinking like, well, it worked back then. This song is part of revival, a key part in it. If we sing it now, then God will fall because this is his favourite. And, you know,
oh, it's nostalgia, isn't it?
Nostalgia,
it's just as nostalgic as, you know, someone going to, you know, Rewind Festival where it's all the old 80s bands or something. It's just the same as that. I'm going to see a tribute act. It's nostalgia. And we're not here for nostalgia. You know, the point is, if you're worshipping, you're there to meet with God. If you've not met with God, you haven't worshipped. You've just sung songs. And, yeah, you can sing old songs if you want. That's fine. But have you met with God?
Yeah. I want to read you a quick quote from Jared Cooper's book, When Spirit and Word Collide. Great book, really good. And he's talking, this is in, I think, chapter 12, and he's talking about tabernacle syndrome.
Yes.
And he's about when, you know, Jesus was transfigured on the mountain, and then Peter said, let's put up a tent to sort of camp here and celebrate it in the Feast of Tabernacles, all that kind of stuff. And he says, tabernacle syndrome, it's like if God has moved in the past, we want to put up a tent and stay there, just like Peter on the mountain saying, it's good to stay here.
Yeah.
But we don't only stay there spiritually. It seems that often the decor of that move, the music, the language, the dress sense, all seem to be suspended, giving everyone everything about the church a dated look. Beware of getting stuck in an old move of God. Get back down that mountain and get on with living in your era, taking all the goodness of that God encounter with you. You live in the 21st century, so let your church, dress sense, and music reflect that. God might look at the heart, but everyone who comes seeking God in your church is going to look at the packaging. Poor packaging turns off the seeker. Get up to date.
Yeah, that's
and obviously
very good.
There's a lot of context in there, so just taking that out of context, I think you could sort of, I'm not sure about that, but the sort of heart he's saying is that let's take the good of what God wants to do now, take the good of the old and run with it, but don't camp there and dress like we're still there and sing the same songs that we're still there. Take the heart of it. Everything we keep talking about these podcasts, we keep coming back down to, and the answer is
The heart,
yeah.
I mean, we have a general, just as a, you know, rule of thumb, just very practically, we tend to not sing songs, as a general rule, that are more than 3 years old.
Now,
that's general, because otherwise you are getting, you're drifting into nostalgia. And we have a back catalogue here that is immense, but we don't dip into it, because we want to, it's now, it's that rhema word of God, it's now.
Is there an element, I'm going to go back onto the... playing the advocate here for the old songs.
Oh, yeah.
Is there an element that when we get used to playing the new songs, that very quickly the new songs become old songs because we end up doing the same new songs over and over again, and then we lose the meaning of the words because we're singing
spare ribs,
same song for 100th time this month.
Yeah, the new songs are like spare ribs. There's only so much meat on them, and then suddenly you're gnawing on the bone, aren't you, after 6 months if you do them too often, and it's like, okay, there's no meat left on this anymore.
I think very often God inspires something, and we grab it and go, great, oh, we've got something new and fresh, or we can do this to death. And actually, we do it, and what God's saying quite quickly is, great, that achieved exactly what I wanted it to do.
Yeah.
Now move on.
And we're going, holding the songs lightly as well, especially if you've written them. You can get, it's almost like your baby. You know, you've put your relationship with the Lord in written down in tune form. Please judge it, everybody. My relationship with the Lord. It's a little bit like that. And it takes a long time to get to the point where, okay, I'm going to hold this very lightly. And it doesn't matter if we never sing it, actually.
Yeah.
You know, or if we just do it once, that's fine. That's okay.
Yeah.
And holding songs lightly is easier said than done.
Yeah, very difficult. Do you know what, another great quote from that Jared Cooper book is that when we're being creative, and he was actually talking about in the context of songwriting, but saying when we're being creative, we're being the most like God that we can be.
Yeah, I read that.
Because
really
God
good.
Is a creator. That's who he is.
Yeah.
You know,
it's brilliant.
And obviously, in a similar way, I think, this is just coming out of my head right now, so don't look too deeply into the theology.
He's thinking out loud. Brace yourselves.
God sort of held that lightly in a way, didn't he? You know, giving us free will, it wasn't like, didn't say, no, you must do this thing. I mean, he obviously, the grand scheme to redeem mankind from the beginning of creation. But at the same time, he didn't force us to do what was best for us. He held us lightly and said, you know, I want what's best for you. But
that's a really good point, yeah. Very good point. I like that.
Ooh.
That's profound.
That might have been revelatory.
I don't think we're going to top that in this conversation.
Well, on that point then, let's end it there. I can't even remember what our question was. Oh, yeah, old songs. Yeah, just songs.
Sing a new song.
Take the heart.
Sing a new song.
Yeah, take the heart and the good stuff of what God's done before. And I would love to hear some of those revival tunes and hymns rewritten for today.
I think it was Tim Hughes
I heard an interview with, or maybe it was Matt Redman, one of those two anyway, and he said, I think it was Tim Hughes, he said a lot of his inspiration comes from old hymns. He'll just read through hymn books and he'll underline a line and go, that was a line. And Light of the
There's
World.
Nothing New Under the Sun.
And Light of the World.
Oh, yeah.
That, which was a great song at the time. A lot of that was inspired by old hymns.
Yeah. Some great old hymns.
Please, everyone, get on that. Times. Rewrite some of those old ones.
And
bring them up
be?
To date.
Boom.
Contemporize. I'll just briefly say, sometimes this doesn't work.
Yeah.
I was in my own sort of quiet time and worshipping and stuff, and had an idea. It came to me. I started writing a song, and it was... this would be really unfortunate if I can't remember right now what it was.
This is audio gold, this, Colin.
Yeah, just...
A man Googling on his phone whilst doing a podcast.
Do you remember that song? Jesus' Love is Very Wonderful.
Jesus' Love is Very Wonderful.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I did a contemporary version of it. Different melody and different chords. And I was meeting with God.
It's
and it was really powerful. Just Jesus' Love is Very Wonderful.
Yeah.
What an awesome thing to sing.
Wonderful, yeah.
And I finished and I thought, I don't think I could ever do this or like ever present it to them, because if you just started it, everyone would just be thinking, no matter what the tune or what the chord, you'd just be going, Jesus love. Why are we singing this?
Yeah.
Even, no matter how good the lyrics are, you know. So some things just maybe don't work.
I think with a lot of things, you know, let's just leave a lot of the songs in the past.
Yeah.
But there are some that are
sing
timeless.
A new song.
Sing a new song. That's the thing to do. Sing a new song. If the Lord tells you to do something, he will enable you to do it.
Yeah.
So if the Lord says to you, sing a new song, he'll give you the tools and the unction to sing a new song, whether it be spontaneous or written.
Yeah. And hold it lightly.
Hold it lightly.
Because we prophesy in part, we know in part.
Quite.
We write in part.
Exactly.
Well, on that bombshell, we end the show.
I'm not sure it was a bombshell, but there we go. Yeah. Very good, Colin. That was a really good question.
A really good question. Yeah. If you have any questions or comments and you think, I completely disagree with you, you are wrong, we would love to hear from you.
And we
because
would.
We'd like to get it right. So if anything, you have any comments, questions, or, you know, anything like that, then please write into
pete.norman@kingdomfaith.com
or colin.squires@kingdomfaith.com. And we'll speak into your ear holes next week. Goodbye.
Yeah, see ya. Ta-ra!